Soul Tape. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game. Welcome to Urban Media Today Radio. I'm your co-host, Bill Neal, along with Kevin Cameron. It is Soul Take, Champions Live Sports Talk Show.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Kevin Cameron. To get things started, I would like to introduce our guest, Darnell Dinkins, former NFL tight end. Darnell actually won a Super Bowl with the New Orleans Saints in 2009. Also played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, New York Giants, Baltimore Ravens, and Cleveland Browns. Played his college ball here in the city of Pittsburgh for our Pitt Panthers and went to high school at Shinley. Bill, help me welcome Darnell to Soul Tape Champions Live.
Well, it's easy to welcome, but you know, you need to start that intro with a Shinley High School graduate.
Is that right?
Won a Super Bowl. Look, let's go back to the beginning.
Okay, we can go back. We can go back.
Just saying. You know what Bill Parcells said to me?
What did Bill say?
He said to a group of people interviewing him, if I had 11 Darnell Dinkins on both sides of the ball, I'd win a Super Bowl every year. That's the kind of respect he had for Darnell Dinkins.
Uh-huh.
He's a highly respected, highly qualified, superior athlete that put in the work to achieve the goals that he's achieved, and couldn't be prouder to have this young man on our show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys so much for having me. Thank you so much.
We're happy to have you, for sure, for sure. And we have a lot to talk about. You know, it's football season. Training camp, right?
Right.
Preseason games are kicking off after the Hall of Fame game. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
And hey, it's that time of year, so we're very happy to have you.
Does that mean we're no longer discussing the Pittsburgh Pirates? Are we officially? Because I can put this to rest. I can put this.
Well, I think we should have did that back in like '91 when they had Andy Manslake and Bobby Wanier.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, they get the good guys
92.
And then trade them off.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are officially burying the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Don't bury them. Don't bury them.
But you don't have to say that every show. You said it last week.
For resurrection.
Resurrection. You know, we're going to speak of resurrection for the Pirates. That's all.
The hole keeps getting deeper and deeper.
It is as if after the All-Star game, they flipped the switch and they just went underground.
It's same as last year, but this year is actually worse. But let's get away from the Pirates, man. I want to talk about success.
Okay. Kevin's been right about two things since I've known him. I've known him about 12 years.
Okay.
He's been right about two things. The Tiger Woods would return to glory, and the Pittsburgh Pirates would be done and would not be any good until they changed management. So I bow to him.
You know, Darnell, just let you know, man, I've been right about a whole lot of other things, too. Yeah. But those are just the two things he gives me credit for.
Well, the fact that somebody give you credit is a blessing.
So uh-huh. See, there right? you go.
Well, hey.
Go. Yeah, take it where you can sometimes nowadays. Right?
I guess you have a little right. credence to that. I'll take it and run.
But I definitely want to say, you know, Kevin, you know, Bill, you know, thank you guys for having me on the show. With all the people that you have in this wonderful town and all the people that you come across, it's a blessing to be able to come out here and speak on what you once done. Talking about training camp, talking about the things that happened, lets me know how time just continues to move. It just seems like yesterday we was holding up the trophy, and it's been almost 10 years now. So
yeah.
I'm thankful that God has kept my health. I'm thankful that you guys considered me for the show, and I'm thankful that I got an opportunity to kind of speak on the testimonies that God has brought me through. All those tests that I thought I was going through at the time is now a testimony for people listening.
For sure.
All the mess that people go through silently and deal with is now a message of an inspiration and how to get overcome. I pray that after this show that someone listening could hear not only how somebody was able to become successful, but how somebody was able to come to their own internal issues.
Excellent.
To be able to see past what people were saying, what they could or couldn't do.
Excellent.
I'm thankful for that. So.
Amen. For sure. For sure. So, Darnell, let's talk about your career. Before the show, we talked about it a little bit right. as far as the unique way that you got to the NFL. But, you know, just to give every entity that you've been associated with from a sports standpoint a little bit of recognition as well. We'll start off with Shinley High School.
Right. Well, you know, you come up through the City League and, you know, you deal with a situation where I was talking with a great, you know, radio personality who was in this area earlier today about my, you know, eagle and chickens component. You know, you got a lot of people who are very, you know, great in this area. You got people who are exceptional, but when you don't know what you come from, when you don't have a father figure in the home base to come around, we talk about fatherlessness in this world nowadays where people aren't developed. You don't, even though you're an eagle, you're being raised around a bunch of chickens. And when you know about chickens, one of the profound things about chickens, they quack, they walk around, you walk like a chicken, you're in the chicken coop, and if you're an eagle, you can fly. Chickens can't fly.
Right.
So if you know you something exceptional, once you see something exceptional, it'll make you want to be like that. So early in my life, I seen some exceptional things with my mother being gone, my father not being around, that made me realize like I was different from the other kids around me. I was faster than them. I was a little bit stronger than them. I like to be very physical. So when I start seeing some athletes, it made me feel like I think that's me. Mm-hmm. And so when I start to try to do things, the first thing that people would do is talk about me, and you can't be different. So I would put 50-pound weights in my book bag and walk up Center Avenue from Elmore Square to Schindley, back and to and fro. Then I would go there 2 hours after school and put a shirt up and just throw from the left, the right, the middle. I truly learned at an early age that hard work outbeats talent any day. So I was willing to put in the work to become what I wanted to be. I knew at Schindley was running the wing tee offense, so I wasn't going to have the amount of throws or the dropbacks and the consistency, making audibles and checks up the line. I was going to allow me to be progressed in my mind, so I had to make sure I did the things I had to in my own personal time. Well, you fast forward, and I was just really able to start realizing the eagle I was. And so when I started flying, that's when you started getting all the naysayers saying, wow, I knew that kid could do it now.
Yeah.
But when I was with the chickens, they was like, man, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. So
exactly.
I hate to use that as an analogy, but that's an analogy of what I was raising. Yeah. I didn't really have a lot of successful, you know, stories around me, but I had to create that from what I seen. And God just guided me along the way. And one thing that I always would see in 2 Corinthians 5:7, and for we walk by faith, not by sight. And it was something that I had to really believe, even though, you know, no one was telling me that that's what I would be. And that evil component goes into Isaiah 40:31.
Okay.
Where we rest in the hope of the Lord. When we rest in the hope of the Lord, he will renew our strength. He'll give us wings. We soar like eagles. We'll be able to run and not become weary, walk and not become faint. And I had a lot of times where I could have been weary, but God just sustained my strength.
Yeah, that's great. And you know what? That's an inspiration for many people listening today regarding it's not all about where you start. It's about where you're going and how you finish.
That's right.
So if you keep that in mind, and you know, one of the big things that you said too is to believe in yourself.
Right.
You know, forget what the naysayers say. If you have, if you know where you want to go and you work towards it, you can get there.
Most people don't get to their blessing because they get stunted through the process.
Right. Right?
And when you get stunted in the process, you don't understand where you're going to propel that. See, if I stop before I reach my destination, then I never get there, right?
Right.
And if you look at, you know, like David and Goliath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Goliath really brought out the David in him, but way back when his when Samuel was coming around to anoint one of Jesse's sons, he went and got seven of his sons and left David tending to the sheep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you consider that with football. Most people like this guy and like that guy and think this guy's going to be great. They don't care about a kid who's raised in the Hill District who's, you know, coming up with a single family home.
Right.
But because you never lose value in yourself when nobody don't see the value in you, is how you sustain. And David was able to still tend to a sheep. If he had said, man, I don't want to tend to these sheep no more because my dad don't even like me. My brothers are talking about me. He learned how to protect them with the apparatus against a lion, against a bear. So you fast forward in the midst of silence when you're able to do something in front of people, right? And now everybody was scared of Goliath. You know, he goes out there, everybody's getting slayed. Somebody was like, man, the first thing that people do when they see you coming up, they want to tell you how you can be like, yo, like a guy in the neighborhood, man, you need to shoot the ball like this. You need to throw the ball like this. They want to tell you how they did it, right? You know, Saul said, hey, wear my armor, take my sword. If David would go out there with his sword, he'd have got slayed. He said, no, I'm cool. I got my slingshot and my five smooth stones. So every time I go into something, I try to write down 5 points that help me focus. I call it that's my David moment. And just like nobody thought David would slay Goliath,
okay,
in his quiet time when he's protecting those sheep, allowed him to slay one of the most formidable foes. And we all have our Goliath moments where we can't get caught up in the process. We got to be able to fight through it.
Okay, cool.
And it's not only bore out in sports. I mean, most certainly that way of thinking and that mindset and that commitment makes success at any level achievable,
right.
You know, we allow sports to be that barometer that a lot of people can relate to, and a lot of people have been involved in, and a lot of people have come through, and it speaks to you in the form of teamwork and dedication and commitment and hard work that can be applied in any number of directions.
Absolutely, I say team. What we miss nowadays, we got a lot of bulldozer parents who want their kids success at any cost. You look on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, it's all about my kid, my person, I'm getting this. But what happens when we don't achieve? See, we're not teaching people how to overcome obstacles in situations. When I was Pitt's number one recruit, one of the top 100 players in the country, I had a coach tell me, I don't think African-Americans can retain enough information to be a quarterback. I don't say that. I'm not going to give you your transcript so you can leave. I said, the coach tell me, I'm not going to let you leave or play quarterback because you don't look at me at the end of practice. So, you know, you got a guy who's getting minuses for running, 20 and 30 yards. You got a guy who's leading the team in touchdowns and percentages and still don't get a starting job because the guy last year was a starter. And it really built a lot of character in me to deal with the NFL.
Now, let me stop you right there. I'm going to tell you why. Because it's a small world. So I'm going to tell you how that revelation became a blessing to me. I was sharing with Kevin yesterday when he told me that you were coming on the show how I had the good fortune when I was working with the Pitt basketball program to pick you up and ride you home one night. Now here, 11 o'clock.
Hold on, Darnell. He didn't try to charge you, did he?
Yeah, I think he did. I'm playing.
Those were good days.
Okay.
Last week I would have hit him up for a couple dollars. Back in the glory days. But clearly he was coming from the gym, from the guts of the gym back at the old Pitt Fieldhouse and Pitt Stadium, and having gotten his work in. So I picked him up to give him a ride home, and you said that exact thing, more or less, that they're trying to tell you what you can't be.
That's right.
And you knew at that young age that you were capable of being what you wanted to be.
Absolutely.
And I was telling Kevin last night how I tell three stories about you when I talk to people, and I do on numerous occasions. The one about what Parcells said, and then I related to Kevin how you said to me that night, you said, Coach Neal, I know what I can do.
Right.
And no one's going to stop me. And I remember being moved by that as an older guy with a younger guy, hearing how assured you were.
Right.
Flash forward 20 years, I guess, 15 years, as I was telling Kevin yesterday when we honored you at the Willie Stargell Awards. Darnell, here's a compliment that I'm glad I'm able to make publicly. As you recall, at the end of that night, you slipped something in my hands as you were leaving. You're the only athlete to make a financial contribution to my organization, which at the time was Champions Association, without me having to ask for it.
Wow.
Now, to make a comment like that after 45 years of community service, that speaks to your character.
I'll never
forget that. When it was so shocking that when you put it in my hands, I thought maybe he made a mistake. Maybe he had his hand in his pocket and pulled something out he shouldn't have. But it speaks to your character. And I was sharing with Kevin yesterday. I said, we can't get a better person on our show than Darnell Dinkins. So I remember both those moments. And it's always good. And, of course, I called you last year to come speak at the City League Hall of Fame Awards. And little did we know that you were going to steal the show. Did you talk longer than we wanted you to, they didn't want you to stop talking.
I know.
But Neal, he's got to. I can't stop him. The crowd wants to hear more because you lit the place up, man.
God is true.
Because you're one of the City League Hall of Fame inductees. You're one of the great City League athletes of all time. And our only mistake was waiting so late to get you there. But you were on the road, so we couldn't get to
it. It was my fault. I was doing a lot of stuff. And once again, God's kind of got me back. And when I look at my track record and look at the things I've done, I really think that nowadays more than ever, kids need to hear stories of overcoming. Kids need to hear a story of people who have fallen and have gotten back up.
Yeah.
And my story is a story of where you're not so successful in a lot of times, and so you try to truly find the value of who you are, in some of those quiet places.
And I wanted you to talk about that a little bit more. Like I said, coming out of Shinley, your unique path to becoming a NFL player. Share that with everyone.
Well, what happened is I go through the Pitt days, and I end up, told you I wasn't able to play quarterback. They had me playing safety, receiver, linebacker. Driving the team bus, washing clothes, like
everything.
And I'm a versatile guy, and I'm a fast learner. So it's a blessing and it's a curse at times, even now in my life. And so I just was willing to help whoever. So now here I go. I end up finalized playing the last game at Pitt Stadium against Notre Dame, and we really just had a good game. And guys are crying, and people's ripping up the stadium. I'm sitting here crying, like I may never play football again. And what I was trying to show his joy was really just fear. And at that time, God was just really dealing with me with fear and doubt, stunt your faith. never lose sight in what you are doing, Darnell, because a blessing delayed is not a blessing denied. And if you have focus and purpose in what I'm saying to you, understand I'm preparing you for the next level. You're going to go further and deeper than anything that people could have thought of you. Defensive coordinator who I was playing safety and linebacker at the time, Ramon Walker, was a safety at Pitt, ended up going on with the Texans. Yeah. He just didn't think, you know, I could have it. So how it kind of comes to full fruition, I end up I'm juvenile probation and probation, looking to go into law and play semi-pro ball, where I end up having a game where I throw for like 700 yards and 6 touchdowns in one game. Opportunity comes up with the New York Giants up at the stadium for a workout. I'm actually the New York Dragons in the arena team. So I'm in there like 400 guys. I'm throwing on the side. A scout comes up to me, and this is how God moves when you move in his timing. I'm throwing on the side. The scout comes over, and he falls. And usually I would laugh or say something to help the dude up. I didn't even know it was a scout. He's like, hey, I'm Larry Ennis from the New York Giants. I was coming to say, man, you look so much different. You look like an eagle in the room with chickens. And I wanted to know, do you have any film? Well, what I was doing was recording all my semi-pro games and just put it in my quiet time, my slingshot.
So you were playing semi-pro?
Playing semi-pro, and I put together a film so that if an opportunity presented itself, I would be prepared. And lo and behold, I didn't have to do anything outside of just moving to God's time, and then he brought the scout to me.
Okay.
So I sent them a film. They liked it. They flew me up there. Sean Payton worked out. Me and Rashard Casey was actually.
Now, Sean Payton at the time was the offensive coordinator, if I'm not mistaken, coach. And quarterback coach. Yep. Okay.
And so we're sitting there throwing, and I threw every route. I mean, it was the ball was flying out of my hand. I could tell y'all just was so focused. And when it was all said and done, I go home. Now, here's where the story gets dicey. And you know that, you know, really, it says in the Bible in 1 James, consider joy the various trials of life, but when your faith is tested, it produces patience. And when your patience is made whole and complete, you'll be lacking nothing. Well, my patience, I had to really be patient because I was walking away from a great job. My daughter was here, and I really didn't know what lied ahead. So I'm driving up to Buffalo for another workout. Five minutes outside of Buffalo, my truck hit a patch of black ice. Wow. Hit an embankment. My truck flips over like 8 to 10 times.
Wow.
I travel about 50 yards. That's how I got the scar on the side of my face.
Okay.
And I say there's beauty in the ashes, because when I see the scar, it lets me understand that this is what I went through. This was kind of the defining moment. 10 minutes after that accident, I'm thinking that I could push the truck back over and still make the workout. That's how crazy I was back then, right? But then a picture of Lethal Weapon came in my head, like, this truck about to blow up. So I'm running on the side of the road. Like, I probably would have ran like a 4.3 if they timed me that time. But I'm flying. Thinking at any moment, I'm going to go jumping in the air because the truck's going to blow up. Well, my expedition was like the size of a Jeep. But 10 minutes after the accident, which I learned 5 hours later when I got back home, is that the New York Giants had called me. This was the day before my birthday. And they wanted to sign me to a contract and go over to NFL Europe and play with the Rhine Fire. So you go from not being told and being put down and saying what you can't do, and then having a promise come all together in one instant. So God can do things instantaneously if you walk in his path and in his will.
Definitely. So as a summary, you went from the University of Pittsburgh and you play semi-pro ball, and then you end up going to the European League. At the time, that was the NFL Development League.
I was allocated by the Giants.
Right, by the Giants.
Yes.
Okay, and then after you did well there, you caught on with them.
Came back to their training camp. I went over there, got honorable mention. I never played with my hand in the dirt. I was a third-string tight end. T. Martin was a signed guy from the Steelers. Then it was Romero Miller, was the backup quarterback.
Yeah. Okay.
I would go. I'd be the first guy on the field about 20 minutes before practice. I would start training, and guys started seeing that. And then I ended up playing tight end while I was in NFL Europe.
Okay, but you broke into the NFL playing for the Steelers, right? Is that correct?
No. I had a workout with the Steelers.
You had a workout with the
Steelers. First training camp was with the Giants.
Got it. All right, so what we need to do, we need to pick this up because we're running short on time, so we need to pick it up in segment two. So, Bill, before we go to segment two, I'm not sure if you have anything else real quick. We probably have like 30 seconds.
Well, the thing that I think is important to offer, and I'm sure Darnell will agree, for those listeners out there, and there are many, and I get comments from fathers who say they listen to our show with their sons who are high school athletes and what have you. Be mindful, people. There's no accidents in this story. God helps those who help themselves. That, you know, Darnell Dinkins and many people like him that have achieved that level of success have put in the work. Simply put, for example, when the coach said you have film, you had film. You put in the work. You put in the weight room. You put in the running time. You put in the thinking time. You put in all the necessary work so that when those things became available, it was able to happen.
All right, great. So when we get back, I want to know from you, Darnell, if you ever use a cryogenic chamber like Antonio Brown. I mean, the man, he really messed up his feet, and now he's missing time on the football field. So we need to talk about that. I know you're ready to respond to that, so we'll pick that up in segment two.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip-hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. Listen online at urbanmediatoday.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.
Keep making noise!
Welcome back, everyone, to Soul Take Champions Live. I am Kevin Cameron with my co-host Bill Neal. We are sitting here with former NFL player, tight end, Super Bowl champion, Darnell Dinkins. Bill, hey, we were just talking about what were we talking about? Well, we were talking about
let me help the people
the path.
I mean, because every now and then you go war on me, you slip in the darkness. Why are we talking about him, man? Antonio, what's his name, is gone.
He's gone.
We don't care nothing about his feet. He put his ugly feet up on Facebook, man.
let me say something. When things go on in the NBA with LeBron James, we talk about it, right?
All right.
With the superstars of the sport.
All right.
We're always talking about
it. We got to talk about it.
Yeah, so
we'll talk about his feet.
Exactly. So we'll hold off on that. But I do want to go ahead.
I will say this. I just really feel this on my heart right now. And I speak what I speak, and it is what it is. And I feel like I'm led by God. You know, when you start looking at people, you know, pride comes before the fall, and honor comes before humility. And I say that you look at people's foundation, it kind of dictates what goes on. I think his foundation is off. You know, you look at what he does on the field, look at what he does with his teammates, look what he does in his personal life, and when your foundation ain't right, you set yourself up for failure. Sometimes God got to show you personally, and it's funny how it's symbolic of his feet, which is symbolic of his foundation, which is foundation of what he does. So when you build castles on quicksand, you can't expect no blessings when you out there doing mess.
Well, I feel you on that, Darnell, but at the same time, I think God uses people in different ways.
This guy has more money than most, right?
Yeah.
But you look at how his family life is. One of the ironies of this world is that most kids want to get to the level which we are at. So what's better than being able to show people who you are by showing what you consistently do, and not just what you do when the lights are on, but what you do when they're not. And you could be, you could determine, right? If I consider my other teammates, if I consider other people, I don't always retaliate against them. If I'm a low end player who's not getting a playing time, I get it. But when I'm a high end player, I can control the environment, my team, and my locker room. Are you a family oriented player? Are you a person who's going to forget about me? I love you. Or are you not only going to get the money, you're going to take the women, you're going to take the people, you're going to take your teammates, and you really got to look at this situation and say, you know what, I can be either a positive person or a negative person. Right now, I think that God is going to go through a movement where he's going to start saying, look, I want to show you who's in control. If your foundation's off, look what can happen when you talk down to people, when you think you're greater than people, and there's nothing worse than somebody who doesn't speak with humility.
I feel you on that, but let's keep in mind at the same time, there's a lot of successful people on this earth that are not guided by the Lord. So we have to keep that in mind as well. Right. And I think there's a reason for that too, because God uses us all in different ways. So, and sometimes you sit back and wonder from a standpoint of, well, man, this guy isn't even following the Lord, right. But it seems like they have everything materially, but they really don't.
Well, think about this. When people come to you in your weakest moment, when Satan went to Jesus in his weakest moment,
right,
he didn't go with them with not knowing the word. He went with them with knowing the word. Mm-hmm. It's one of three ways: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Okay, mm-hmm. And I don't care what I do. I can't take anything that I have on this world monetarily or materialistically mm-hmm. when I die, and I'm gonna have to right. make an account for everything that I right. do. And when I say some of the messages that are being put out there by people who are mass influence, you could be very well setting young men up to kind of say, "Here's how I came from nothing to something." But when I only talk about what I have and how I need this and what I need, then ultimately the very thing in which you can be positive ends up becoming looking negative and yeah. very selfish. And to me, the ultimate team sport is football. You know, and you need that lineman who's a left tackle to block
his guy. To the puzzle.
You need the quarterback to be able to throw. You need the backside fullback to be able to check up the number four strong safety come off the edge. You need right. the receiver to run the right route. It's right. not just a one individual game. And I think right now this is a great time. If anything, he could take this time and learn how to be a little more humble.
It would be nice.
Because it's such a great time.
It would be nice. So. Again, for the listeners out there, just to make sure everyone is aware of what we're talking about.
You're not at Macedonia Church. just in case you have to think you got the wrong channel.
This is
you're not
station.
At Macedonia Church. With you are Antonio at Soul Take Champions Live.
With Antonio Brown, this cryogenic chamber that he was in, he messed up his feet. We don't know when he'll be back on the football field. So,
well, Kev, do this for me and others. I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
What does that what is that chamber supposed to do?
Well, that's why I was asking.
Well, I did a chamber before, and what it does, it goes down to I believe 120 below Celsius, and it really gives you the 15 minutes that you do with icing in about 3 minutes. Okay, so some people want more. Sometimes they go in there with you put your footies on, you put your hand gloves on.
You don't put your footies on, right?
Put your footies on.
Which AB did not do, but right. go ahead.
So you put your footies on, you put your hand gloves on, and you go in there and you allow it to do what it does. But what you can't do as an individual is beat, God or the elements. Chemistry yeah. is chemistry for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I went and tested when things are that cold. So I've done it 3 minutes
Bearable.
In there. Very bearable, very cold, but it gets your body back to balance. It gets you where you want to be at. Probably not better than CBD, but I would
Is it colder than you've ever been in your life in a moment?
No. The coldest I've ever been in my life is playing Thursday night football when I was with the Browns against the Steelers, and it was freezing down in the Heinz Field. But to answer your question, I think it is very bearable. I think if you do it in the right way, I think if you don't tip the scale, and I think if – you get people to listen. If you listen to what people are saying and not just talking, I'm sure there's a lot of him that was involved in this. And to go back to your point, not to speak negatively on him, because let the first person cast
stone. Well, facts are facts.
Yeah. I just say this. In Romans 12:2, it say, "Be ye not conformed by the ways of the world, but transformed by the renewal of your mind." I know he may not be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I know he may do the things that he does. But once again, when you're a great influence, and anybody who's on the radio can say this, that when you are put in front of a screen mm-hmm. on the radio and people are listening to you and they love what you do,
mm-hmm.
it's not your job to influence, but you become a large influence.
Sure.
And I am worried
exposure.
About
it. It's about exposure.
Right. And if we're looking at the society we have right now, young men could use a guy like that to be in the right mind.
Okay, so let's do this, because you played in the NFL with a lot of good people.
Right.
From a standpoint of Super Bowl champions, MVPs, Hall of Famer. Let's talk about Drew Brees. Tell us what your experience was playing with Drew Brees. Give us a little bit of insight.
It's like playing with a coach.
Like playing with a coach?
I tell you this. When he broke the passing record, what I did not know, mm-hmm. ESPN, I'm not sure if you did have seen a story on ESPN, but they sent balls everywhere. They interviewed me, Marcus Colston, and one other guy. LaDainian Tomlinson. Now, how Darnell Dinkins got in with LaDainian Tomlinson and Marcus Colston, once again, is blessed by God. And he sent balls to everybody who caught touchdowns by him or caught passes. So that's the type of guy and type of character
that's
he
big
has.
Time.
He went to practice. I would have brought the ball. Like I said, I'm not one to you guys were trying to get me to come down and talk. I'm not one to really try to glorify myself. But when you see people who understand what it means to be a teammate, Drew Brees was somebody who – you wanted to do the right thing for, you wanted to work for it. And once again, the way I got to the Saints was through Sean Payton when I was with the Giants. So once again, my whole story, if you thought the Blind Side was a great movie, then you should really
if I put this to a movie, it would be
amazing. And Drew Brees sent balls to everybody. He thought about everybody more than himself, and he was the ultimate team player. He would go out there before he threw and would work about 45 minutes on every angle. And the guy, I've never seen a guy so accurate. So any receiver that does well in New Orleans, probably, you know, they're not that dynamic in most other places. You see guys leave from there and they never really pan out. He makes your job very easy because he is so detailed.
Okay.
6 foot, maybe?
He delivers the ball. Who cares?
Yeah, but I'm just
–
He gets it done.
Right. Yeah,
he gets it done.
He's not your typical
size. Yeah, I mean, to his credit. To have achieved what he's achieved and not be the quintessential prototype quarterback is even more to his credit.
Doubt. And based on what you said, too, sounds like he's a very good person.
Amazing person. Let me put it this way. When you take an account for your day, 24 hours in a day, 160 hours in a week, 762 hours in a month, 8,760 hours in a year, what are you investing your time to? That guy is investing his time to being a great man on and off the field.
Right. Right.
And like I said, sometimes God have to humble some people to get them to understand the value of a minute.
Yeah, and he has quite a story, too,
right?
Because he left San Diego.
Right.
And he has a
– He was forced out. You got an injury, you probably won't be the same.
A major career-threatening injury.
Right.
And they decided to go in a different direction. And he went to New Orleans, and he embraced New Orleans, and everything worked out very good. I think San Diego lost out on that.
Right.
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. So go ahead, Bill.
Well, if are you in the same vein? I got a different question.
Well, I want to – if we could just stay on this for a quick minute. How does he compare with Ben Roethlisberger from a quarterback perspective?
Well, never playing with Ben, I can't speak to that, but I will say I worked with Ben when he was out of football and getting back to work together in Hampton.
Okay.
They both kind of got the same attributes. They like to work in their quiet time. They do the things they need to get done. They're very poised quarterbacks, and they do their job. I when the NFL stands for not for long, we're not doing what you're supposed to. And you look at the guys who really excel at the quarterback position, they complete passes. You know, and that's one thing that, like, when I'm talking with a kid like Phil Jakovic, who's now at Notre Dame, a quarterback, or most young kids think they got to be perfect.
Okay.
I tell them to look at Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees stats, and see how many passes they incomplete.
Yeah.
Because nowadays, when you look on social media, you look at some of these stats, you think you got to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I say with these quarterbacks, they're okay with making mistakes. So that's what I would say about Drew Brees, about Ben Roethlisberger, and most of the guys who excel. When they throw an interception, it's not like, oh, the world's over. It's like, let me see what I did wrong so I can excel from it. Let me watch from film. Because when he's going through plays, he's so cerebral that he kind of knows whatever the defense is doing, he knows where he's going with the ball already. That's why he really has high numbers. And you could bench press 275 20-something times. You could run four or fives all day.
Mm-hmm.
But the best muscle you can ever strengthen in terms of sports is the 6 inches between your
ears. Well, wasn't that a beautiful game to actually watch last year?
The
Steelers against the Saints. High-scoring game. The quarterbacks really played well, and it was very entertaining.
It was a team effort, and I think that was one of the things that I liked about it, and everybody stepping up to the plate, and that's where you really got to get out of this egotistical world that we're coming to, and I hate to keep mentioning it, but it's almost like the more people are looking for, they're looking to see who's looking at them, who knows them. I think as much as I love the social media world, I think it's hindered a lot of players in the atmosphere.
They
want to know who's looking at them, and you're not team-oriented.
Since you mentioned that, from an NBA standpoint, Andre
Iguodala?
Exactly. He was actually interviewed by Kiki's, our producer, just to make everybody aware. And who's the guy that comes on Whammo every morning? Come on, Kiki, let us know.
Hey, Kiki, we didn't mean to wake you up over there.
I wasn't.
What's his name?
Charlemagne the guy.
Charlemagne. I don't like that second part, so I'll just say Charlemagne. All right.
He is funny. He is a funny guy. He tells it like it is.
Yeah, well, I think he goes too far.
No, he's not a guy. He's the guy. He gets you talking. He's a shock jock.
He
trained under Wendy Williams.
Okay, my point is, he actually interviewed Andre Iguodala.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And one of the things he said about social media, he said guys actually go in the locker room at halftime
right.
during a NBA game and check their social media, which I thought was crazy.
That's the way of our world now. You
yeah.
know? I mean, we got more technology than you ever had. You think about 200 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't touch the people that you touch nowadays. So some people are using it to their the fullest extent, and some people, you know, don't. But I say, you know, in sports, people want to know who's looking at them. They want to see what they're compared to. They want to see what numbers they get. It's helping with signing off on contracts.
Yeah.
And it really is.
Well, whatever happened to put your head down and play?
It's lost in who's looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the team of money.
Yeah.
You know, I remember a time where I could tell you about the 12th man on the bench for the Bulls, Luke Longley and Bill mm-hmm. Winnington and John Paxson or Jeff Hornacek for the Jazz. Now I know the Greek freak.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
you know, Clay. No, you don't know teams the way you used to, and so it's a detriment.
Okay, so before we get off the quarterbacks, I'm just interested from your perspective by what you see the five top quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
I think your quarterback is always going to say who wins in the NFL. I think mm-hmm. I think it was great. I thought last year if you had seen something with Drew Brees against the kid from Kansas City,
Mahomes.
I think mm-hmm. he's a talented kid. He seems very humble and he leads his team.
Mm-hmm.
I think you still got the Patriots quarterback.
Tom Brady. Okay.
Who's always going to be consistent in what he does. And then there's always that nuance for two or one new quarterback to kind of fit. And that's usually a component of the defense and offense. But the quarterbacks right now that I see.
Top five. Drew Brees,
Tom Brady. And Mahomes, and then it could be a slew of depending on how Cam Newton, if he stays healthy.
Cam Newton,
you know,
really?
Well, just with his versatility.
Cam Newton,
he's very versatile in terms of what he can do.
Wow.
And then
it was just in the Super Bowl a couple years.
No.
Right. And then obviously Atlanta, you know, always has some firepower with their guys and being able to spread the ball around. But a lot of these young guys, I don't know if they with social media. Once again,
okay.
a lot of them are in the social media world, so you only get used to hearing positive stories.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when it go bad?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing we don't count for. When you're always hearing positivity, or you're answering to a lot of...
Well, the guy you just named doesn't fit that description because when it goes bad for Cam Newton, he does not respond appropriately. And that's a big problem that I have with him regarding his media availability, regarding his press conferences, regarding him not falling on a fumble in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So when it goes badly for Cam Newton, he doesn't respond appropriately.
Right.
Yeah.
Most people come back strong. If they're really talented, they have mm-hmm. a bad season, sometimes they kind of pull back through, And you got that whole, section of, guys, who do well. They handle mm-hmm. adversity well. But I don't know if our world is preparing people for failure.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, social media, you got guys either talking way to the left about crazy.
Well, the world won't prepare people for failure.
Right.
That's something you have to do yourself.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then you've got, the young kid on Murray, who I think is maybe just a little small for the quarterback position. But once again, the jury's still out on him. You know what I mean? And,
mm-hmm.
and you have to really go through some of the tests to win. But I think Mahomes and I think Drew Brees, I think Tom Brady is going to separate themselves from everybody in the NFL.
Yeah, and then, of course, I'm not sure where you would put Ben Roethlisberger, but I would definitely put him way ahead. He's definitely in my top five.
I don't think I think with the loss of Antonio Brown, it's going to really, affect their numbers. I think the other guys was able to do what they were because he drew so much coverage. When you got two guys covering one, it's 11-man football. So you figure you can't cover mm-hmm. the quarterback. You don't really cover the running back. So if you're taking two guys out of your safety, out of your backfield to cover one guy, then somebody's getting mismatches. And
didn't we say, wasn't that the same question when Mike Wallace was there and AB was there and they were saying, well, AB, we don't know if your production will still be the same because Mike Wallace was drawing double coverage on the other side.
Well, he was a speedster, but AB got an overall skill set. And I don't know if Juju Smith can really handle that type of press because there's nobody else after that really. You know what I'm saying? You got nobody announced. So I think it's gonna really be Ben finding his go to guy. Juju will have some good plays, but I'm not sure if they have recovered as far as that gap. That's the large gap replacing Antonio Brown.
And the last thing I'll say on that, and I'll turn it over to you, Bill, but remember, Ben Roethlisberger went to 3 Super Bowls and won 2 without AB. Now, AB was there for the third one that we lost. Well, he threw the winning touchdown pass to Santonio Holmes in the second Super Bowl that he won.
Kev, I love you. What are you talking about? Here's how you
that's
win
big
Super
time,
Bowl.
Big time players.
Well, you get
make
a great defense. You get a great line.
I agree with you on that.
And a quarterback that can throw consistent passes. They had Jerome Bettis. They had a standout defense. They had a solid line. And Ben Roethlisberger didn't have to win the game. He just didn't have to lose it.
I agree to a certain extent, but because of him, you got to remember Larry Fitzgerald could have had the winning touchdown. And big time elite quarterbacks.
Could have, should have, would have means what?
I don't know.
Could have, should have, would have means you did.
Well, my point is we called on Ben Roethlisberger to make the winning touchdown throw, the perfect throw and the perfect catch.
Perfect catch.
You have to put the ball there.
Well, two men did their job. two men did their job. And, you know, I think the world knows, and I think Ben will own up to it late night in a bar somewhere. He was asleep the first half of both them Super Bowls. So, you know, he doesn't get a whole lot of credit for winning the Super Bowls. He did what he had to do when he had to do it.
I wouldn't say that he was asleep. I would say that the first game he wasn't as certain of himself. He had a great
the first
defense.
Game for sure.
Heavy joke to the circumstances, but he wasn't. You know, he wasn't then what he has become.
And they had some real talent.
And understandably,
Randall L. You know, Hines.
It wasn't like he was. It wasn't like he was the dominant person on the field.
Absolutely.
And won the Super Bowl.
Right.
But he did. It's a team game. Right. So everybody did their part. Why is it when I start talking, the break sign comes?
I'll let you bring us back, Bill, for the third segment.
I'm going to have my agent call in because I don't like the way this is going.
I would like to say this. There's a few large institutions in our society that we just don't like. It could be the IRS, NCAA, ICE. You can name a lot of them. But what I'm saying is we need to talk about the NCAA because they're just plain tripping. We need to discuss in our next segment. Absolutely. What the NCAA is trying to do.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for the Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's the Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
Soul Tape. The champ is Champions here. Live is the name. Talking sports is our game. Well, look, I talked about the NCAA years ago. My contention was this, just basketball speaking, since I've done a lot of work in that direction. All the college teams in this country that are NCAA teams, Division I, Division II, Division III, all the men's teams, women's teams, where all that money going? Mm-hmm, I've talked about the NCAA years ago. Where is all that money, and how come we can't pay athletes? Everybody's all this, man, that's just one sport. But I did want to do this, Kev, before you go into great detail, since Darnell was kind of flowing there. A couple real quick questions, D, and just kind of a speed round here for you. You a Steeler fan?
Not really.
Okay, I just wanted to find. I didn't being from here, but played elsewhere. But right. Were you
that's
a Steeler?
That's hard.
Like were a you great, a Steeler like fan a, when you lived here?
I wasn't. You know, I was a good games fan. You know, I liked the Bears. I liked the Broncos. I liked the Eagles with Randall Cunningham. I liked Minnesota. You know, when they had a Warren Moon.
So you grew up not being a Steeler fan here in Pittsburgh.
I grew up loving football and teams.
Okay,
I love great teams.
Honest answer. Now, flashback 30 days. If you were still in the league getting ready to go to camp a month ago, what would you be doing individually to get ready to go to camp? What would your routine be?
Be with my workout in the morning, hard, come back home, eat.
Now, what's that workout, though? What's that workout?
Workout's going to be a consistency of lifting and getting a good run in because I think you got to prepare your back and your lower extremities for the amount of running that you do in training camp. Can you prepare for hitting? You know, so you got to be able to run with apparatuses on you so you can get used to the weight that you put on with the pads and the weight of actually hitting somebody else and carrying somebody else's weight. I play tight end, so I had to kind of, you know, take on guys who were ultimately bigger than me as well. So it was always tight ends getting over it. You either blocking or you either running routes, so you almost like a second quarterback on the field. You got to know everything, protections, and runs. So then I would then go in there to breakfast with my wife and my kids, and we would go out to an amusement park or a pool and actually have some family time. But I believe in getting edified through your family as opposed to going through a lot of mess. And you don't want to be going into camp with somebody calling you or saying this or saying that. So the more mentally clear, you could train your whole body, but the 6 inches between your ears is what more guys need to start training now. And they're so distracted in a world where we need to really try to starve distractions and feed our focus. More guys do that, they'll be more successful on the field.
All right, and another question. What do you think, and I know you're not going to put words in Parcells' mouth, but what do you think? How would Parcells have handled A.B.? I'm an advocate that believes that Mike Tomlin let A.B. get away with more than he should have gotten away with.
When you were with Parcells, what position?
Let me correct that. Parcells was Fossil. Fossil was there. Yeah. Parcells and then Fossil, so it was Fossil. Yeah.
I'm concerned about Parcells because he made the comment about you.
He didn't play under.
I understand that, but Parcells made the comment about Darnell. So
I would say Parcells, the old school guys, the Parcells, the Dickers of the world, they would have took control of their team. You know, and I'm not saying that A.B. wasn't supposed to be A.B., but he became A.B. in the midst of being somebody, you know, smaller. So as holding him advancing, I think with the advancement and all the team that's around him, all the people that's around him, created the entity in which he is today. And like I said, whoever you are in silent, you're going to be that way in public. Just when you got more money, you can be more flamboyant.
But you guys were the real demand. You at that time.
I think that it depends on your team. And as he became so successful, and in this town, this is not a good town to be successful in because we love Pittsburgh. And we love the Steelers, and everything they do could be no wrong. But at the end of the day, this guy, once again, he's become something of an entity in itself. He's amazing at what he does. You know, you throw the ball his way, he's always coming up with that catch. Mm-hmm. But he need to understand that it's more than just him. He still need a team. He need a line to block. He need a quarterback to throw, the running backs to run so he can be successful.
So you think the Steelers made a good decision by what they did, getting rid of him?
I'm not saying a good decision. It's always hard to lose a player like that. Time will tell, as it always does. I think that, you know, you'll
necessary.
Be
necessary.
If it were up to you, what would you have done?
If it was up to me, you know, with me, I'm always trying to see the best in every situation. So as a coach, I would have taken him to the side and let him know the value of who he is.
That was done?
I would have let him understand the value of being around players that are younger than him and being a forward, and that we want to continue to keep building this team around you. If it's just about a money play, you know, or is it about, you know, going down in history and being one of the greatest of all time. You know, at some point you got to figure out what people's niche is. And if his niche was only about money, then they did the right thing.
Okay.
If his niche was about being
that's
a team player and a win, then, you know, then you go on and do what you do. So,
speaking of coaching, any aspirations of yours to be coaching on the college level or the pro level?
You know, I thought about it, and I coached at Rutgers and did very well and did the recruiting side. And, you know, maybe it's something I get back into, but I just really felt like I had to really help my children come along. My daughter's down at Tulane right now. My son's a junior at North Allegheny. My other son's a sophomore at North Allegheny. It was hard putting guys into the league, put over 5 or 6 guys in the NFL, and then your kids struggle without seeing you. College and coaching and coaching in the NFL is a full-time position. And now, just with some of the mental side, I would love to get in front of the guys and just help them sustain. But the more you get away from our true value and what it was when we came through, see, these guys don't understand what it was like when you couldn't play because you were African-American.
Mm-hmm.
The kids don't understand what it means to being sitting in a classroom because you're African-American. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't understand the benefit of being African-American and having the rights that we have because we didn't go through the hardships. And I think we're missing a generation, and it's going to keep getting worse where people feel like they're entitled for being how they are.
There should be a job in the NFL for a guy like you to be able to go to teams and
advise
deliver those words, because some of these guys need to hear that.
They forget that we weren't
here
from
somebody that's been there.
Right. We get caught up in the mess, but you have to realize that you truly have been blessed, you know, and they've been blessed to do something that pioneers before them weren't. Rosa Parks can't understand the value of a bus or a car because she wasn't given that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But if she was alive today, would she still be Rosa Parks?
Mm-hmm. So let's do this. Let's talk about the NCAA, because I stated that the NCAA is tripping. And why did I say that? Well, effective 8-1, the NCAA implemented the so-called Rich Paul rule of clutch sports, which requires agents looking to represent student athletes to have obtained at least a bachelor's degree among other criteria, such as 3 years of NBPA certification, an in-person exam, etc. Why is this the Rich Paul rule? He does not have a bachelor's degree, for starters. Okay, the new rules could potentially prevent agents from signing the top NBA prospects in the future. So I'll turn it over to you, Darnell. What do you think?
Our world is based on what? What is our government, politicians? It starts with laws and it's written. Mm-hmm. So why do you think people used to get killed when they learn how to read? Because if you learn how to read, then you truly can change the environment.
Right.
Right. Once again, we don't take the value in the fact that most athletes weren't even allowed to play in college sports or in professional sports. So you got all this, you keep people highlighted by exploiting them, letting them highlight themselves. But in education is education. In NCAA, if you learn how to write the laws and you learn how to, do things, then you can change things. And they're trying to keep people out by saying you need this, attribute. Some people can sell because they're good talkers. They're, yeah. They got to get the gap. You don't need that to be a good agent. You need to learn how to read contracts. And I think what they're trying to do is just isolate people from excelling. The top, the people on top who can write the laws are going to try to do the things that, cut everybody else out of the wayside. And I think that's, where things go. I think that college players should, have a stipend, especially if they're selling your stuff. I think they should set stuff up for the future. I think they should teach them how to, go through checking accounts. I think they should teach them about financial planning. I think those are classes that you should have be set requirements and prerequisites for you to get your scholarship. I don't think it goes to the agent side. I think that the NCAA should be do a better job of developing athletes, because you can't really do a lot of the stuff in the midst of trying to be an athlete while you're playing.
Bill?
No, I agree wholeheartedly. I think with it may not be as overt as it sounds, but a lot of things are done in the dark. And I think there's an effort to create a legal good old boy network. It's what you're doing, but you're legalizing it so that nobody can scrutinize it. But yeah, you're trying to put into place a system that only certain people can get into. So no, I don't think that's the way to go at all. And to your point earlier, Kev, the NCAA has been tripping for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do 5 shows on athletes being paid and compensation for their name on sold items, and this rule works at this college but doesn't work at that college, and all those kinds of things. So and also to your point, no one has called the NCAA out on the carpet.
Yeah, you have LeBron James now upset because of course Rich Paul is his boy, and you have Chris Paul who's upset. I've seen a lot of other media types upset. So the pressure is being applied. So we need to see what's going to happen here.
And what happens, sorry to cut you off, but when you become an entity, when you go from being a player to an agent or helping guys get signed, you got more influence than an agent who's just being in the law room or in the classroom. So the way I stop that, way I stop some of the players from going with guys who may not have done all the years of law school like I have, is by creating new laws to make sure people jump through more hoops to be good.
That's
what it is. They can't ever match anybody's influence on what they've done. If I'm a kid and I'm watching Randall Cunningham and he starts an agency and he says, "Hey Darnell, I want to sign you," I'm gonna sign in a heartbeat. But now if I got rules and the regulations, some guys can do that, but if it's not written, why is it a big concern now?
Exactly.
With social media, with all the influence that people have, we're in a world where we're trying to separate people,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And if there's an issue, a legitimate issue, and it's explained, this is why we're putting these rules in place. Maybe people would be more willing to embrace these new rules. But when you just come out and you say these are the rules and try to provide lame excuses as far as why they need to be put in place, that's where I have an issue.
Here's what I say. If you don't know what you don't know, and once you know, then it becomes an issue. I knew what Prudential was. I knew what Nationwide was. I knew what all these places was before I knew what insurance was. Because every time I watch football, you can see 1,000 insurance companies.
Right.
And someone's getting paid for all that money, right?
Right.
So when you look at all the business that go around football, what other business shuts down the whole day? Sundays are shut down because of the NFL. So when you look at that alone, and you look at basketball, and you look at, you know, hockey, you look at all these different things that are set in place, there's a lot of money. And the more information you have, the smarter you get, the more it gets to be separated and pushed out. You don't got the same people making the same money. So these are all rules, like you said, to be put in place to keep the, you know, it's the haves and the have-nots.
Well, let me tell you what, be reminded of what the great social advocate Dick Gregory said. I'm going to leave it in your hands, young folks, but you got to learn the tricks.
Yep.
If you don't know the tricks, you can't win the game. And he was very adamant about how our government and the status quo has all the tricks to their advantage. But let me get – you were in a lane that I was following in on for a moment when you were talking about rules and regs. So what's your opinion about the Kaepernick situation? Because it became a topic of conversation again yesterday when he announced that he's still ready to play on an NFL team.
Here's what I think. I think that anybody at the top of their career, whether you, Kev, you, Bill, Kiki, myself, if you're at the top of your career and you're willing to take a knee for something that you believe in, that speaks volume on your character. And so you can't put character in a measuring scale right now. But once again, he did something that he believed in because of what was happening. You don't see a lot of, you know, Caucasians or, you know, Asians getting shot. You see a lot of African Americans. And me having, you know, sons, I worry about out there to teach them how to prepare themselves if they get pulled over. Now, one of the crazy entities is that I didn't train, you know, cops as well. So they have lives. They want to go back home as well. So sure. A guy like Colin Kaepernick taking a stand for something that he believed in, he got ostracized for it. You know, then you got your president saying a lot of things, you know, about that. But I think the guy showed a lot of strength in what he did. I think it could have been received well. But I think more importantly, if somebody felt that strongly about it, why not have a conversation? Put on social media, put on television, let everybody hear the reasons why if you really want to make a change. I think it was about pointing the finger, and now he's an issue. And
I'm all for this. In the world of the NFL, Kaepernick has got to be able to be better than at least one of the quarterbacks in NFL, if it's the third quarterback on any one of those teams. And my other comment is, in the NBA, if Carmelo Anthony can't get a job in the NBA, can nobody get a job in the NBA? There's something wrong with that, D.
Right. Well, you know, once you get a bad name on yourself, you know, they will.
So you're saying, you. I mean, Darnell Dinkins, I'm going to put this on you. Darnell Dinkins just said, Carmelo, if you ain't going to play defense, we can't use you. Is that what you're saying? I'm sorry. My bad.
All right, so we have a little less than 5 minutes left here. Let's get back to football, and let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers 2019 campaign. Give me your assessment of the Pittsburgh Steelers for this year.
I think it's rebuilding time for them. You know, I think they won for a long time.
We don't say rebuild, Darnell. Come on now.
In a steel town, you got to say build because it's part of who we are. You know, it's built on Steelers. That's just steel town,
all right?
All right,
go ahead, man.
So I say they rebuild. I think that they, you know, put some things in place. I think you got to, you know, kind of, you know, extract or, you know, get out the things that don't work well and kind of go to a new form. What they once were, with, you know, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown being able to be better than most of their positions, they're going to have to settle with guys who are workhorses and have to really be in the games into the fourth quarter and really learn how to minimize their mistakes and maximize their games. I think if you look at teams that win year in and year out, they cut down on turnovers and they run the ball very well. I think they control game. I don't think you're going to see, you know, the
– And the Steelers win year in and year out. If the Steelers win year in and year out.
Very boring. They're going to have to play a little more boring game and hope to, you know, be and really, you know, help their young guys learn.
They don't want to put too much on their young guys. Say this, Darnell, because I know you're in the minority here from a Steelers perspective. Right. But go ahead, Bill.
Well, I just want to help both of you because, you know, they say if it's written, it must be true.
It must be true.
And it's a very wise cat that writes for the Pittsburgh Courier on a weekly basis who predicts – the Steelers will win the division, will win 12 games, and it must be true because it's written right there. I can read it. And then Soul Tate Champions Live is identified in the same paper.
Okay.
So if this is true, then this must be true. That's all I'm offering. Yeah. Steelers will win 12 games and win a division. They can't win the Super Bowl because they don't have a defense to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think I like Kansas City for the Super Bowl this year.
Let's not forget, too, The young quarterback at Kansas City, Breeze, even Brady, and to your point about Antonio leaving and the filling the voids, you know, teams and coaches adjust and they prepare, and you know, they when Jerry Rice left, they adjustments begin to get made. I mean, so everybody comes and goes, but great coaches and teams adjust and make the adjustments to do what they have to do to win. And I think that's what the Steelers are going to do this year. They have a lot to prove in that locker room that we don't need those guys. This is what we're capable of without them, and I think they have a chip on their shoulder to prove
it. Well, I know we have less than 2 minutes, but Darnell, the reason that I'm saying that the Steelers will do well this year, I'm saying 10 or 11 wins and make the playoffs and win the division, and I think Cleveland will come in second. And the reason I say that is because the Steelers have what a lot of teams are trying to get. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league. They have a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They have a number one wide receiver. They have solid tight ends.
They have the second greatest running back in Pitt University history.
And one thing, good defense.
And one thing you guys forget is that this is a game of injuries. So what happens when all those guys that you guys named get injured?
Well,
the guys
are
in the same place.
There's depth.
And I don't know if the depth can sustain with guys in the other, you know, on the other side. You got the Cleveland, who's, you know, made a run at some things. Baltimore always got a tricky defense, and then you obviously got, you know, everybody else in the, you know, the AFC who is going to, you know, pose a threat. So when you look at all the things that they're up against, you only got, when you're only one deep as far as the skill set and veteran.
I think the Steelers have depth, though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to say this. Time will tell.
And adjustments on Jackson, for example, in Baltimore. The NFL is going to adjust to his abilities. But look, I mean, I got to ask Kevin a question, if you don't mind. Don't go away.
Well, we have like 30 seconds.
I understand, but how you invite somebody on the show that ain't a Steeler fan, man?
I'm not a Steeler fan.
I've told you many times before.
But I mean, you got to vet him or something.
I try to be objective.
Well, you were very – all right.
And he played for everybody in the AFC North with the exception of Cincinnati. But Darnell, we're out of time.
Yes.
It was great having you here.
It was a pleasure being here.
Don't be a stranger, man.
Absolutely, man.
We
I'll
need
be on
you
whatever
back.
You guys
and I got to get real quick. Just tell me the feeling coming out the tunnel for the Super Bowl.
Amazing. The light shining when you kick the ball off. I mean, that's probably what everybody sees, like in slow motion on NFL films. All the lights flashing when the ball is being kicked was
surreal. Can I help you with that, too? Next time you're asked that question, it's always better when you leave than coming in. Because when you can lead with the Lombardi, that's what it's all about.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and you win. That's right.
Robin Cole said it was outside of the birth of his children, one of the greatest moments in his life, coming out that tunnel for that Super Bowl.
Having my sons in the locker room during a week was the greatest moment.
Great. Oh, what? Say that, Kev, because I can't say
it's it. UrbanMediaToday.com.
You can't make that up.
So, everyone, we appreciate you listening to Soul Take Champions live on UrbanMediaToday.com. Please listen to us every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m. But
you can't leave without saying this. We'll be in Aliquippa. What's the date?
We'll be in Aliquippa on August 30th.
Live,
and
y'all.
We'll be interviewing a lot of Aliquippa stars, Mike Dicka, if he makes it in, Ty Law, Darrell Revis, and
even
Sean
Tony
Gilbert.
Dorsett, who's from Hopewell. But y'all come to Aliquippa. Y'all can meet us, get autographs, and pirate hat and everything, and a courier. That's all the stuff we got to give away.
Champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone.
Soul Tape. Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
Brought to you by Cameron Professional Family of Businesses.